Welcome, patrons, to our review of X2.
Since the discovery of their existence, mutants have been regarded with fear, suspicion, often hatred.
Drop the knives and put your hands in the air.
I can't.
Are they the next link in the evolutionary chain? Or simply a new species of humanity fighting for their share of the world?
What do you need, William?
Just your authorization for a special operation, Mr. President.
We've managed to gather evidence of a mutant training facility in upstate New York.
This facility is a school.
So, X2, released in 2003, starring, here we go again, Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman, Ian McKellen, Halle Berry, Famke Janssen, James Marsden, Anna Paquin, Rebecca Romijn, and how about Brian Cox and Alan Cumming? That'll do.
It is almost worth Famke Janssen being in this movie just so you have to stumble over her name.
It is. I'll go Famke next time.
Famke.
Directed by Brian Singer. God damn it. All right. So this film was entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as the widest film release, having opened on May the 2nd, 2003, on 3,741 screens on the same day.
Surely that's been overtaken by now.
I'm looking up at trivia for X2. That's all I know.
I don't know. I just can't imagine that there hasn't been like a Harry Potter or a Star Wars or something bigger than X2, even Avengers, that hasn't opened more on more screens at the same day.
X2 was pretty big back in 2003.
Was it?
$110 million budget, made nearly $215 million in America, was the ninth highest for the year, and made $407 million worldwide, making it ninth for the year.
Yeah, so it's ninth for the year. Like, that's not that massive.
That's big. No, top 10 for the year. Is that not big?
It's big, but there were eight movies that year alone that were bigger. What about every other year?
Those films didn't have to have 3,700 screens. So, Halle Berry at this time, she just won her Academy Award for Monsters Ball.
Yeah, great movie. But if you look at like the posters and stuff, and it is her and Hugh Jackman very much highlighted on the front. She's really not in it that much.
She wasn't actually going to be in it a lot at the start. They actually did a rewrite of this film just so she could have more screen time.
Really?
Yeah, she was going to do Geely instead of this, but she dropped out to come back and play Storm.
Wow.
Can you imagine going from Monsters Ball to Geely?
No.
It's like going from Monsters Ball to Catwoman.
Burn.
So this is where we start to get the buff Jackman coming up.
He's definitely spent some time in the gym now and looking quite fine, if I do say so myself.
Yep, he was given a nutritionist this time around, and he actually gained 20 pounds of muscle to come back as Wolverine here. So, yeah, I agree.
It shows. He looks great.
Absolutely. And this film does have an average of 7.5 over 472,000 ratings.
That is 0.1 higher than 7.4.
Thank you for that math lesson, Dean. Why don't we get into it? Holy shit, I did not know that this film went for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
What the fuck? I put this on thinking, all right, smash this out quickly.
Yeah,
here we go.
Cool, hour 40 maybe?
Yeah, 2 hours and 15?
I was like, what does this movie have to tell in 2 hours and 15 minutes? Seriously. It was not off to a good start when I saw that. Until we saw that White House scene with Nightcrawler. That was a great scene. Great opener.
Yeah, this undoubtedly is a great opening. Once we get past the boring Professor X voiceover, of course.
And the old school 2000s CGI opening title again.
Yes. Very reminiscent of... No, we did that last week.
Yeah.
No, it is great. I love that if you don't know that the character of Nightcrawler is a teleporter, you genuinely are made to think it's more than one person.
Are you?
Yeah. And even the guard says... there's more than one of them, and they look around because he's just everywhere at the same time. It's really, really good. And I just think the way it's shot, the way it's edited, it's really quick. The effect of him, like, turning into dust and all that slow motion stuff, especially when he gets into the actual Oval Office, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's suspenseful. It's really dark. Like, I didn't expect it. Like, I got my son Ethan to watch this first scene, and at the point where he's got the dagger and he's about to kill him, I was like, gee, this is full on, and it's really, really good.
Nah, great start. I was thoroughly impressed with this.
Did you notice, though, that he starts off with, like, white skin?
No.
Oh, it's really odd. Like, when you first see him, you can see scars on his face, and he's got a much paler complexion, and then by the end of it, he is full on dark blue.
No, I didn't notice that. I
found it really odd.
Oh, okay.
My first nitpick of the night.
Won't be your last, I take it.
No. Now, we're straight back into this Wolverine origin story, leading on immediately after the first X-Men movie, which I did like. like they kept that going.
Yeah, it's like just basically telling you that we are going, is it basically a straight continuation from the first one.
How horrendously bad is this green screen here?
We're in the snow.
Oh, you didn't notice?
When I wasn't paying that much attention
when
to
When he's
it.
Walking through the mountains and you first see him like look down on the lake, it is, oh, it is really, really bad. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Honestly, it's there's no more of it. There's no more
thank God.
Bad green screen I noticed or bad CGI from memory, but this shot is really bad.
One bad thing I noticed they did get rid of was Halle Berry's accent. She starts talking immediately when she gets on screen. Oh, American voice again. Oh, that's a bit convenient, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think the accent was the worst thing about her in the first one.
She wasn't on the screen enough to warrant anything else. It was the accent that stood out.
She was on the screen far too much. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we get a lot of Jean Grey getting her powers a bit more strengthened here. Like, she starts to freak out a little bit here in this museum.
Yeah. It's an odd scene. And, like, Scott talks about how she gets nightmares.
Scott.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy.
Oh, God.
I never realised how bad he was, but, man, he's horrible. he talks about how the room shakes when she gets nightmares and stuff. This is obviously just setting up that there's more to her than, I guess, meets the eye.
Yeah, I guess they are setting her up to take a big part in the third one as well. I think they would have had the third one in mind with this film.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
No question at all. But it's, I don't know, like it is good that there's enough setup here to warrant the story in the third one.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, I found it really hard to get on board with it and get excited for it when you know how it pans out in the third one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
oh, we're going towards this, aren't we?
The Dark Phoenix saga is one of the greatest X-Men stories told. And especially in the animated cartoons, it was just, I think it was like a 5 or 6 episode run.
Okay.
It was phenomenal, right? And everyone agrees, like absolute standout of an already great cartoon. So when you see it here and you see like the red fire in her eyes and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, but
here we go.
It just doesn't go anywhere where it should.
Are you talking about in this movie or towards the third one?
No. I actually think it was good in this movie. I thought what they did in this movie with it was good. It's just,
was it more of a tease?
I couldn't enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? It's not really a tease. She fucking dies in this film.
But you got to take it for this movie. Like, don't think about the third one.
I know, but I couldn't not. You're just like, oh, here's this great build-up, and it's such a fizzle. It just, this whole Phoenix
storyline. In all fairness, let's go off on a little tangent here. That's kind of how I feel about Endgame coming up. Like, if that doesn't resolve the story that we've got from, you know, Infinity War, it's gonna drop Infinity War, is it not? Like, are you going to be able to watch Infinity War after seeing Endgame? Like, yeah, but this is, I know where it's going to go.
I mean, that's so hard to answer because I'm very much on board with the Infinity War is one movie, and I will judge that on that movie. And I know you especially are waiting to see how Endgame pans out before really heaping praise on Infinity War, so
I wouldn't say that. I've given Infinity War a fair amount of praise.
You're very hesitant on Infinity War.
But then why can't you do this with X2?
Because I've already seen X3. It's shit.
Oh, big spoiler alert for next week.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like,
no, we know. We know.
Opinions change. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing Kelsey Grammer, a little beast action.
They're actually supposed to have more mutants in this movie. They're supposed to have Beast, and they're supposed to have, I don't know, one of them. They're supposed to bring back Sabretooth and Toad in this film. There was supposed to be a big fight scene between Nightcrawler and Toad in this film. But they were like, nah, there is way too many mutants in this movie already. We can't have any more.
It's not just that. The story is, like, full.
Yeah.
Like, how long do they want this movie to be?
They chuck all that in and go for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Stuff that.
Stuff that indeed. Now, we get our intro to Pyro here. What do you think of Pyro? I mean, what a dick.
Is this not setting him up for the third one as well?
What a dick.
I know. He's such a pompous little shit. Like, where does he get off with his attitude?
I don't know. Yeah. He's just, there's really nothing to him.
They really set him up to be the dick that ends up going with Magneto.
Like, what a shock.
Yeah.
That he goes to Magneto. And even the way he goes for him, they just see him standing in the snow at the end and they're like, he's bad now. It's like, fuck off. Did you notice that Cyclops had his tie tucked into his pants?
No.
I mean, as if we didn't like this guy enough already. Like, mate, just pull it out.
Whoa. Now, you notice that Professor X freezes everyone here. Most of those extras that were frozen were actually mimes in real life. That's how they were so good at being able to stay still like that.
I didn't realize there would be that many mimes in real life.
They probably got every mime in the world.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, in for that scene.
Hmm. All right, so we get introduced to the villain of the film, basically, William Stryker.
Brian Cox, old Coxie.
What do you know Brian Cox from?
He was in Zodiac, I know that. He was in The Bourne Identity and The Bourne Supremacy. I know he's Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter. Brian Cox, Adaptation. He's the lecturer guy, I'm pretty sure, something like that. What do you know him from?
Fuck all.
I thought you had this big epiphany, this big movie, waiting for the build-up.
How did you not say this?
Yeah, come on.
No, it's an actor that, you recognise, you know who it is, but, nothing really stands out for me.
Oh, I just rattled off a bunch for you.
No, none of them stood out.
Oh, okay. Do you know him? Do you remember him from the Bourne movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, as long as you remember him from the movies once I say them.
Oh, I don't remember him in Adaptation. What else did you say? It was one at the start you said I didn't remember.
Zodiac.
Yeah, I don't remember him that. And I watched it, a month or two ago?
Yeah. All right,
moving on.
Stryker!
I mean, yep, it's Stryker.
Yeah, he's okay in this.
He's okay. He's not a fantastic villain.
He's not super intimidating or anything like that. And it's because he's got the backstory to Logan.
Yeah, but the problem with him is he has no powers. Every single one of them can kick his ass.
That's true. And he gets disposed of pretty quickly when push comes to shove.
And there's no way to get around that. You have you want your main villain to be someone who wants to kill all mutants. It makes sense that he's not a mutant, but man, it does leave a lot to be desired at the end.
What did you think of Magneto and Mystique not being the big villains in this film?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Did you not?
I think it was good because I think of X-Men and I unfortunately think of the third one where it's those X-Men, or those mutants against the good ones, the good versus the bad. And I always forget about X2 where they're actually all together fighting humans or a human.
Yeah, but
He's obviously got his own agenda in this too.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, I don't consider Magneto as just a 100% villain. He's a layered character.
Yeah,
and when you see these so-called bad guys working with the so-called good guys, I really love it because you get so many interesting dynamics, and there's a lot of callbacks to previous films, the one film previous to this one, with the interactions, which is great. These are people
The Mystique and Logan in the tent.
Mystique, Logan in the tent. The other stuff with Magneto.
Rogue with Magneto.
Yeah, yeah.
I like what you did with your hair. That was good.
Yeah, no, it is.
But Logan gets back to the school. I did read up that all these shots of the schools were just reused from the first movie because they didn't have the budget to film it again.
Really?
Yeah.
What about him coming back to the school and Rogue's got her new hair?
No, the exterior shots of the school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
What did you think of all these interactions with Logan and Cyclops, as annoying as Cyclops is?
Oh, I didn't like them. And even at the end where, Logan says to Cyclops, she chose you or something like that. It's motherfucker, if you're even talking like that, these are people who are, in love and together.
Yeah, it's
you basically had
to think about it.
Yeah, like it was an option. Thanks for reminding me my missus was almost cheating on me. Fuckwit. I just thought, is Logan meant to be saying that to make him feel better?
Yeah, he is.
You dick.
Just to make you feel better that your missus just died. I had a crack at her. She thought about it, but went back with you.
We get this really boring scene with Storm and Jean Grey locating Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah.
It's boring. Honestly, Storm is so boring. And furthermore, Nightcrawler is so boring.
Well, he didn't come back for the third one, as you obviously know. Do you know why?
Because he was so boring.
Because Alan Cumming did not want to go through all that makeup and nonsense again.
And fair enough.
10 hours in the makeup chair to get that done. Stuff that.
Yeah. Wonder what he got paid for this movie. Probably fuck all.
I don't know about fuck all. I think this is a successful film, coming off the first one. I reckon they all would have got a fair chunk.
Do you know Alan Cumming from anything?
Goldeneye. As he's Boris. I am invincible.
I don't even know who that is.
What? What? How dare you? Get the fuck out of my house.
Maybe I need to rewatch that.
Yes!
There's a number of scenes in this film that are intercut with other scenes that are happening at the same time.
Okay.
And this is where we get it really hard first up, where we start this one scene of Logan walking around the school at night. He's talking to Bobby for a bit, and that is being intercut with Professor Charles and Cyclops going to see Magneto.
Yeah.
And it keeps cutting back between the two scenes, and you're sort of learning a bit from the Magneto and Xavier conversation about, oh, what have you told them? Like, they realize that there's people going to the school, and then you cut to the school, and Logan and Bobby are there, you know.
What do you think of that scene with all the military guys coming in and the kid mutants escaping?
Oh, the whole school fight scene?
Yep.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
You know what I found most odd about it, though?
What's that?
How weird it is now seeing Wolverine kill people with his claws,
yeah,
stab them outright in the chest, screaming and yelling and tearing them apart. No blood.
Yeah.
Just, yep, in and out, clean as a whistle.
Well, that was the censorship. They said, oh, no.
I know. And I understand why in 2003 they've got to make this a very kid-friendly thing. Like, comic book films were not what they are today.
Absolutely not.
And it wasn't until even very recently anyway that Deadpool came out as R and was wildly successful. So you fully understand why they did it.
Yeah.
It just is odd seeing it.
How was that mutant kid that didn't have to sleep? Well, prick, I'd love to not be able to not have to sleep.
Ooh.
I
don't think he can sleep.
No, but he doesn't seem phased where he's like, no, I don't sleep.
He's dead inside.
How do you know that?
Did you not look at his eyes? He's just like, kill me, kill me, kill me.
Blink, blink, SOS. Meanwhile, while this is happening at the school, obviously Professor X gets taken here. And again, Cyclops just shows why he is one of the lamest X-Men. He just gets just taken out. He's so shit.
Yeah, I was actually really excited here. I was like, yes, Cyclops in a fight scene. He gets one single kick to the head by Yuriko and he's out.
Yeah, speaking of Yuriko, what a lame henchman.
How so?
Doesn't speak, does fuck all.
Odd job
has a little bit more to him, a little bit.
Really?
What's she got? She's got a little couple of spiky fingers and just gets taken out.
All worth it.
Nah. Could have done a lot more with it. You don't even find out her powers until when she fights Logan.
Oh, and what a reveal.
No.
Yes.
Nah.
Yes.
Do something else.
Nah. I really liked Yuriko in this.
Nah, didn't do it for me.
I mean, she's got no personality, and that's fine. She's basically just there so that Wolverine and her can have this cool fight scene later.
Yeah, just not worth it.
No, I'm okay with it.
Nah, it's fine.
Fight scene is great.
Yeah, the fight is good. But they could have done something with her earlier on to show that she's a bit more menacing, has a bit more of a chance to defeat Logan.
I disagree. I think the reveal of her powers at the end was effective.
Maybe because I already knew her powers. Maybe if I saw it and didn't know anything about it and it revealed, I'm like, ooh, that's pretty cool. But I knew what was going on. And she's there throughout the film. I'm like, do something.
She defeated the leader of the X-Men, Cyclops himself. Seriously, what is wrong with this guy? He's such a pussy. He can barely fight a human.
And he doesn't
get any better.
He doesn't get any better in the third one.
I reckon Stryker could beat him.
I mean, what's his power? He has that thing. He has to flick the switch on his little eye thing.
No, his power is fantastic. He has a great power, and they just never, ever use it the way it should be used.
He's worthless.
In the movies.
Yes. Even worse in the third one.
Die straight away.
Yeah. Like, he goes to see, like, Jean Grey and dies. Like, at least they got that right. Get rid of him straight away. But enough about Last Stand. We'll be talking about that next week. I don't want to be talking about that more than I have to.
Yes.
That ice wall that separated Wolverine and Stryker that Bobby made.
The wall?
Yes. That was actually a real ice wall that they got in. Weighed 3,500 pounds. Massive.
It's quite large.
Yes.
That's a lot of ice. Do you reckon water weighs more as a liquid or a solid?
I beg your pardon?
You heard me.
Does it not weigh the same?
Ooh. I don't think it does. Because all the molecules get closer together. See, as a liquid, they're all fluid and floating around. When it's frozen, they just get real dense. Would that make them weigh more?
Don't Google it. Patrons, let us know. What do you reckon? Any scientists out there? I did like how they broke out Magneto from the prison eventually.
Sorry, breaking news.
Oh, fuck.
Water and ice do not weigh the same. Ha ha! In your face!
Is it water weighs more?
Yes. Yes, that is correct. Water does weigh more than ice.
Holy shit, are you serious?
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you for... You know,
ice floats on water since its density is less than that of water.
Ah, you thought it was more denser.
Interesting.
There, you've heard it. So there's our science lesson for the day.
Bet you didn't expect to learn anything today. All right, what were you talking about?
I was talking about how good of an idea it was how Magneto broke out of the prison.
Oh, great breakout scene.
Yeah.
I mean, was it? Yeah, good idea from Mystique.
Yeah.
He was looking quite fine as Rebecca...
Romaine. Yeah, posing as herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And injecting the liquid metal into him.
Yep, the iron.
too much iron in your blood. That was awesome. And just picks him up and like, oh, the dust. Like,
the
just
blood like dust.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, morphs into the balls.
Yeah.
It was great.
Nice balls.
And even when he's like floating on the disc as he's just cruising along to the other guards, he's like, pow! He just like shoots those balls out. He loves shooting the balls. Right at the guards, takes them out. He just know like, yeah, Magneto is back, baby.
Yeah. Nah, some good body shots there.
I tell you where it starts to drag.
Is it Bobby's house?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Bobby's house.
What the hell is going on here?
There's
this
so
whole
much.
Thing should have been cut.
Yeah. Like, they don't need the family there.
Do we care about Bobby?
Do we care really? About Bobby's brother? Little shit, getting to call the cops. He just fucking ruined everything.
Yeah, he did.
Turd.
It was pretty cool that Wolverine got shot in the head, though. I didn't mind that.
Did you think he was going to be okay?
No, I thought he was dead.
Did you shed a tear for
even
a
on
movie?
Even on my 10th viewing, I thought he wasn't going to make it.
But here you got to see that Pyro, oh yeah, I'm the worst mutant of them all. I'm the most dangerous. Oh, I'm so cool. Let me blow up some shit.
I thought this was really dumb because you got two cops either side of him, guns pointed, ready to shoot. He turns to one, throws a fireball, not looking at the other guy, then turns to the other guy.
Other woman. Come on.
Other woman, apologies. She could have shot him.
Well,
he does not heal like Wolverine. He would have died.
But that's the thing. Wolverine takes one, say, bang, and he gets shot. And then they decide to freeze when he starts pulling flames out of his hands. Shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, you just did it. Don't hesitate again. But, of course, the plane rocks up right as this is happening to scoop them all up and head on out. And we have this tornado fight. Well, it's not a tornado fight. They're flying through the tornadoes.
Yeah. That was pretty weird.
It's all right. It's not the worst scene, but it's not the best.
Yeah, this is probably another scene they could have lost.
Yep.
Like, really, just get there.
And even, like, the plane, you know, breaking a little bit and Rogue flying at the back to be saved by Nightcrawler.
I didn't mind that bit.
Well, we've already seen Nightcrawler. This is what he can do. We don't need to show it again.
I find his powers wildly inconsistent, though.
Why is that?
Because he can't see where he's teleporting right now. Rogue goes out the back. He's not looking where to go. He just boom, boom. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And even later on, they're looking at the plane, right?
Mm.
He cannot see inside the plane, and he teleports the professor inside the plane.
Well, that
the whole thing is he can't teleport if he can't see it.
See, I don't mind that because he's been in the plane already, so he knows what it looks like.
What?
He can see inside the plane. I think you're taking that too literally, where he can't see it, so he can't transport to it.
Oh, do you mean see it in his mind?
Yeah.
In his mind's eye.
But if that's the case, how did he know where to transport in the White House? He doesn't know what the White House looks like between the walls.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wildly inconsistent.
Yeah, I agree. But before we go any further, why don't we talk about the bad guy plot, I guess, where Stryker is making this new Cerebro and he's taken Professor X hostage and he's got his son Jason to create this illusion in his mind that hit the young Jason, who was a mutant at the school that Charles couldn't fix or help.
The young Jason.
Yeah, I believe that's who it is. The young is
a little girl.
Oh, is it a girl?
That's a girl.
Oh, yeah, because Nightcrawler says she later on, yeah.
What?
Who is it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be a little girl, like an innocent child. That's the whole thing.
Oh, I thought he was projecting the young Jason as
No,
it just made sense, yeah, because it is a girl. Okay, so yeah, they're using this young girl to project onto Charles to go into this fake Cerebro.
Well, it's real, but yeah.
Well, it's the second Cerebro. It's not the real Cerebro.
It's a real working Cerebro.
Cerebro 2, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kill all the mutants. What do you think of this?
I thought it was...
You think it's better than Magneto using the big
speedy thing? It probably is. But, I mean, what does it do? It gives them all a headache for a few seconds.
He's going to kill them.
Yeah.
Which you find out he actually does through Logan.
Yeah, that's fine, but he doesn't hear. And you never think he's going to kill all the mutants. He just gives them a headache. And then he gives all the humans a headache. And it's like, okay. But what I didn't get is, like, Storm goes in there. She does her ice magic. He gets so cold that the illusion, like, breaks, right? Jason is a mutant. So when Charles is killing all the mutants, Jason should be getting a mad headache at that point.
It's true.
And he doesn't.
And when they get into the Cerebro, why don't they just shove him off the bloody ledge? Why does she need to create it being so cold for him to stop? Or get Nightcrawler to grab Jason and take him out of the room.
They should.
Yeah, there is a lot of weird things happening.
Even the, like Magneto comes along and to get into Cerebro, he just opens the door.
Yeah.
Like, Charles's mind is still connected to this thing. He just opens the door. And then later on, Cyclops goes to, like, just do a little blasty-blasty to open it. And Storm's like, no, you can't. You could kill him. It's like, what?
Explosions. Fire.
Get off it.
I don't know.
I was like, come on.
Yeah. There is a lot of problems with this film. This is a better film than X-Men.
It is definitely a better film than X-Men.
But not as much as I thought.
I am 100% the same as you. I went into this thinking, yeah, this will be an easy 4-star. It's not. It's 3.5. It's the same as X-Men, but it's just better.
I was watching it like, okay, from my memory, I gave this a 4. I watched it and I'm like, okay, it's too fucking long. There's things you can get rid of. And yeah, okay, 3.5. Went to Letterboxd, I gave it a 3.5.
Okay,
I didn't have to change this. That's cool.
Sometimes when I watch like series and stuff, I think if one's better than the other, I'll peg it up that 1/2 star.
Just to say, this is better.
Though. No. Like, these are both 3.5-star movies.
Yeah.
This one's better, but it's not 1/2 star better.
No. But Magneto ends up saving the plane as it's crashing. This is where they join up.
Yep.
They have their little campfire stories.
Extraordinarily convenient that the plane falls exactly there.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah,
random. He's in the forest.
Yeah, the campfire stories, all this Mystique stuff. I didn't mind it because really she hadn't been used at all. So, I mean, she broke in the Yuriko thing. That was actually a pretty cool scene where she pretends to be the cleaner.
Yeah.
Walks past the cleaner. I didn't mind that. But she does all her thing here. It's not bad. Like, I just don't buy the Logan Jean Grey relationship.
But yeah, it's not really handled. Like, there's a couple of scenes where like, yeah, I'm into you. And she's like, no.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Learn how to act.
Famke.
Not Hugh Jackman. He can do no wrong.
That's right.
I bought every minute of Hugh Jackman's performance.
So we're basically into the final act here through the, what is this, the dam underground?
Yeah, massively long final act.
So long.
And here, again, we get this multiple stories running parallel that we're cutting between.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Charles Xavier and Jason story. We've got the Stryker running around story. We've got Cyclops, who's turned bad, who ends up fighting Jean Grey story. We've got the Storm running around with the rest of the kids story. We've got the Logan story with Yuriko. We've got at least 5 separate stories they're cutting in between here.
Stop it.
Oh, that's not even including the Magneto story. That's just too much.
And the Pyro story. Can't forget the Pyro story.
Yeah, and you've got these kids on the plane. Like, I'm sick of sitting at the kids' table. And it's like, no one fucking cares about you. You're lucky you're in this movie. Every scene you're in should have been cut.
Yeah, I haven't got much to say about the rest of the film. Like, there's some good there's a bit of good action. You know, everything happens the way it's supposed to. They save the day. Magneto basically takes control and does, you know, turns it into his favor.
Yeah, I really, really hated the Jean Grey and Cyclops fight.
Yeah, I mean, what, like, she overpowers him and he's, okay.
Famke Janssen.
Famke.
Is terrible. Terrible.
She doesn't have a lot to do.
She's worse than Halle Berry in this film.
What do you mean in terms of their acting or in terms of just how boring they are?
Both. She's just, I just don't buy her as Jean Grey at all. I really don't.
Do you buy her as Xenia on the top?
Much more so.
Yes.
Much more so. So, I mean, the main character of this film, by mile, is Logan, and it's all about his backstory. And he does learn, not really about his life before he got the adamantium into him, but he does learn a lot about how he got that in.
Yeah.
What did you make of all that?
I liked it.
I did too. There's some great quotes as well from Brian Coxey.
Coxey.
You're an animal then, you're an animal now. I just gave you claws.
Nice.
Which, again, the continuity of X-Men is going to be all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not a complaint on this film because it's still early days.
Yeah.
But come to X-Men Origins Wolverine, he has claws already. They're just wooden.
They're bone.
They are bone.
Yes.
I've always thought they were wooden. They're not. They're bone.
Yeah.
Why did I think they were wooden? Are they brown? They're not white.
They're bone colour.
Are they?
Bones aren't white. They look white in cartoons.
Bone is white?
Bone is like a...
Ivory is bone, isn't it?
That's an elephant.
Yes. Bone is bone. Our teeth are made of bone. They're white.
We brush them. Get fucked.
Hold on. So what colour do you think bone is? And bone don't say bone colour.
But to be fair, it is that kind of colour. It's like a paler... Not, it's not pure white. I think it's like a paler...
Like an ivory, you could say.
Like a yellow, light brownish with a tinge of white.
Like your teeth.
What is this? What are you doing?
I don't know.
You're full of shit.
Like your... Nah.
Well, this has been a nice little learning lesson, Dean. You've learnt that water is heavier than ice and...
As have you.
No. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And...
You thought they weighed the same, so we were both wrong.
I was closer. I'll take that to the grave.
What do you make of Storm not feeling the cold when she makes Cerebro really cold? Like, her power is
I don't give a shit.
Her power is being able to control the weather, not be immune to it.
Maybe she can control the weather right around her, keep herself a nice little heat bubble.
That's actually a surprisingly good explanation.
Why is that surprising?
Because it's from you.
Oh, come on. Give me some credit.
I mean, I won't, but that's not bad. I wonder if that's what they were going for. I mean,
that sounded like credit. That sounded like credit to me, listeners.
I think that's just, that's an explanation maybe retroactively they could have gone for, but yeah, not bad, Endo, not bad. There's your credit. You get a gentle, not bad.
You heard that. You heard that right here.
Another terrible scene coming up. Rogue flying the plane. Why is this a thing?
I don't know.
And why is she like having a panic attack? Why did she need to fly it at all?
Yeah, that's. I was like, why is she in the
air?
Like,
go out there where the plane should have been, and it's not. And then she lands it, and it's, instead of like, what the fuck, Rogue? Why'd you take our plane? It's like, oh, well done. You did really good. And she's like, I was like, man.
Bobby's in there going, for fuck's sake, what do I do here? Do I have to stay with her? Do I have to get off this plane? But yeah, the whole Jean Grey dead. But she, there's this, the Phoenix comes out just before she gets taken over by the waves, doesn't it? You can see the flame starting to happen.
Yeah.
Is that, was that a little hint that maybe she didn't die?
I mean, that was a big hint.
You said she died.
Well, yeah, she's made to act like she dies, but anyone who knows her backstory knows that obviously she hasn't. I mean, would you have, do you remember what you thought leaving this for the first time? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think I already knew about The Last Stand and that before I even saw X2 or X-Men for that matter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't see these when these came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I probably saw them all at the cinemas.
Yeah, I think I saw them many, many years later.
Fair enough.
No, that's probably it. I don't think there was much more to talk about after that.
Decent speech from Xavier to the president.
Oh, yeah, the president's speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
He's like, is that a threat? No, it's not a threat. You know, it's a suggestion. We want to get along. And then Logan's like, we're watching. We're watching, bub.
Xavier's like, for fuck's sake.
Damn it, Logan. All right. Jean Grey voiceover.
Same speech from the start of X-Men.
Really should have left this scene. And even like you see the Phoenix flying under the water. Too much. Should have left it.
Whatever.
I don't know. I feel like if you had any doubt, that last scene really... Yeah, and she's talking about the next step in evolution. So you could argue that she's talking about not human to mutant, but mutant to whatever she's becoming. So
yeah.
Unnecessary, I would say.
Fair enough. There's a lot of unnecessary stuff in this film.
There is. All right. Final thoughts. As I've said, I mean, a little disappointing on a rewatch, but... It's a good movie. Like, it is good. You got to remember when it was made as well. Some of the special effects are really, really strong. Some aren't. At the end of the day, some of the characters here are great. Like, Magneto, your Xavier, your Logan, as usual. All those guys are great, and they're standouts.
You miss Cyclops.
There's a lot of bad characters, though. And that's very much the same from the first one. So, for me, yeah, 3.5 stars. What about you, Hendo?
Agree, 3.5 stars. Not as good as I thought it was going to be watching it again. Too damn long. Couple of good action scenes in there. Logan, you know, Hugh Jackman's obviously awesome, as he usually is. Again, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, they all shine. There's a lot of wild inconsistencies in this film. Drags it. A lot of things that didn't need to be there that drags it. Overall, it's pretty good. Better than the first one.
Yep.
But yeah, 3.5 stars as well. Okay, that's going to do it for X2.
Yes, it will.
Thank you very much, patrons, once again.
Thank you so much.
And we will see you next week for X-Men: The Last Stand.